Friday to remind the test Zion Menachem of Toshinayin Dalet Reb Arya Roit.
Good morning. The Meir Shapiro once came to a town in America to talk. He was asked to give a drasha, chizik. And before he spoke, the rabbi asked him, "What are you going to speak about?" He said, "I'd like to speak something about Shabbos, Shmir Shabbos." So the Rosh Hakol told him, "Don't speak about Shabbos here in our place. It's a little dangerous. You shouldn't speak about Shabbos. People are not so into it." So he said, "Okay, I guess I'll speak about kashrus." He said, "No, forget it. Don't speak about kashrus either. Not in our place. Taras and Mashbacha, don't even go there. You know, something easier. Tefillah B'tzibah. So what are you talking about? You know who you're talking to? It's not even on their radar. Tefillah B'tzibah." So he said, "Okay, Rosh Hakol, what should I speak about?" He said, "Yiddishkeit, something Yiddishkeit." So I wasn't given a topic to talk. I guess we'll keep it to a simple, easy topic, Yiddishkeit. Those of you who know what I do, said on the flyer, it said traveling Hasidim, next to my name. Which we have a group of Yungalite families. We travel around the country, in America. And actually we started coming to England too. And we do Shabbatons, as it's called in America. For secular people, less affiliated people, we do a Shabbaton and we show them the beauty of Yiddishkeit. So, just under a year ago, we were in a small shtetl in Pennsylvania called Yardley. It's actually near Philadelphia, where Shmuel Kamenetsky lives. And we had a Shabbaton there. We had a great time. And a young couple came in. And they were totally Reform. They belonged to a Reform community. But they joined our Shabbos. And they really enjoyed it. And we got to know them. We got to know this couple. They had a very good time. So they started coming to our house, to Muncie, for Shabbos. And they just started following us wherever we went. So the young couple, they don't have children. Wherever the traveling Hasidim went, they started following us. They became one of the traveling Hasidim. And within a few months, Baruch Hashem, they started keeping Shabbos. And he didn't renew his membership in the Reform congregation, the Reform temple. At that time, the now famous Pew Research on American Jewry came out. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. There was a research done about American Jewry, where they're holding and where they're heading to. And unfortunately, there's a staggering number of 78% of American Jewry intermarry. 78% of the non-Orthodox. It's actually 52% that intermarry. Because of the Orthodox world, it brings down the number to 52. But in the non-Orthodox world in America, 78% intermarry, a gefährlich number. And at the time when this came out, conservative rabbis and reform rabbis were scrambling for ideas how to keep people in, because they knew within a couple of years, within 20, 30 years, there won't be any reform or conservative anymore, because they're really losing it, and people are dropping out. So there were conventions all over, trying to figure out ideas how to keep Yiddishkeit in America. So my new friend, Lou, asked me to meet his previous rabbi. He said, "You know, we got to know each other. I know you. You're Mahalach of Yiddishkeit. Maybe speak to my rabbi and, you know, talk to him. Maybe give him some ideas how he can keep Yiddishkeit alive." I was more than glad to meet him. And we set a date. We got together. He's a very nice fellow, South African guy. And we were schmoozing. And he said he came up with an idea how he could, you know, keep the youth coming in. And he wants to know what I think. Now, I didn't start up with him. He wanted to know what I thought. He told me that Shabbos morning by davening, to get people to come, he brought in a musical band. He calls it the Tefillah Band. the tefillah bands. You know, tefillah, davening could get boring sometimes. So if there's music there, he has a whole band. He says he pays a lot of money for it. It's not just a keyboard, a whole 3-4-piece band. And this way, it sounds more exciting if people are there. So Rabbi, what do you think? So here's what I told him. I told him, I think it's a very nice idea. I see where you're coming from. It's a very good idea that you want to get Yiddishkeit, make Yiddishkeit more exciting. Makes sense. But you know, everyone is very busy in the Reform Conservative movement to connect to Hashem, to feel spiritual, to feel good, to be close to Hashem. And you want to have that spiritual high. And that's why you're always speaking about connecting to Hashem and all these ideas, how you can come closer to Hashem. But you know what? To be able to be true spiritual, if you notice, the word spiritual has two words in the word spiritual. There's a spirit and ritual. Spirit and ritual makes up the word spiritual. To be spiritual, it's not enough just to have the spirit, the excitement, the dancing, the closeness to Hashem. You actually have to have all the rituals. And if you don't have the rituals, the spirit without ritual isn't spirituality. They're very busy just with the spirit. I said Judaism isn't a cardiac religion. It's not just about the heart. I was trying to convince someone once to light Hanukkah candles. And he said, don't worry, I'll light Hanukkah candles in my heart. I said, make sure you don't get heartburn. It's not enough just to do things in your heart. You actually have to do all the rituals. Because when you just have the spirit without the rituals, it's not true spirituality. And they don't have any rituals. I don't know if you know, but in the Reform movement, there are no halachas which you have to do. It's every congregation, every temple, their rabbi says what they have to do, and their rabbi gives a list of laws. This is what you must keep, and that's the Kodesh Kodeshim. They must keep those laws, but anything else, is they can forget about it. But every rabbi has their own laws. So I told him, it's not Judaism. He's called Bob. I said, it's Bobism. Your religion isn't Judaism, it's Babism. And if the rabbi is William, it's Williamism. Williamism. It's not Judaism. Of course, unless the rabbi is a female and she's Judy. True spirituality needs the spirit and the rituals. Now, why is it so important to do these rituals? So, of course, I explained to him why we need both. In his case, the main thing which we have to focus on is the rituals. The translation of the word Torah means guide. Torah comes from the word Mor Derech, a guide. We call it Torah Chaim. Our Torahs are Torah Chaim. It's a guide for life. It's instructions for living. Torah's instructions for living. The Torah says, next week's pasuk, and then there's another pasuk later on, there's two ways to go. On one path, it's chaim, it's toiv, it's brucha, it's life, it's blessing, it's good. On the other side, it's klulim muvas ra, it's death, curse, it's bad, it's terrible way. And the Torah says, it's up to you. It's a beautiful pusik. Life and death are in your hands. It's up to you to choose which way you want to go. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you the fact is, there are two ways to live. If you keep the Torah, if you listen to the ways, if you follow the instructions, you have this way. And if you don't, it's not so good. You see, when someone buys a small machine, if you buy a simple telephone, and you obviously know how to use it because everyone has a small telephone, but if someone buys more of a sophisticated telephone, a smartphone, and none of your friends have a smartphone, how would you be able to use this phone? You have to read the user's manual. Now if you don't read the user's manual, what will happen? nothing will happen. You just won't utilize utmost potential from your phone. It will be a regular phone. You might be able to figure out how to use a calculator, but not more than that. When you buy a washing machine and you don't read the user's manual and you've no idea how washing machines work, then that might be a little more complicated. You might rip your shirt. But try flying a Boeing 747 without reading the user's manual, without going to flying school for years, without having an instructor sitting next to you for the first 100 hours in air. If you manage to get that thing up in the air, good luck. It's suicidal. The point is, the more sophisticated the machine is, the more important it is to read the user's manual. Life itself isn't so easy. I think we've figured that out by now. The divorce rate, unfortunately, is very high, extremely high. How many people raise the children the way they want to raise the children? Parnassa isn't so easy. Social life. Life isn't so easy. It's very complicated. So wouldn't it have been nice of Hashem? So when He created this machine, human being, when He created this world, shouldn't He have sent down with it a user's manual, a guide? Well, He did. That's the Torah. The Torah is simply instructions for living. If you want to be happy, Chaim, Toiv, Bracha, you got to keep Shabbos. We don't know always how it works. Don't pull the bone out of the fish, but if you pull the fish out of the bone, it's okay, you'll have a good shalom bias. What's the connection? I don't know, because I don't know the wiring. But one thing I do know, that this is instructions for living. So if someone walks into a cockpit of an airplane and says, what's going on here? So many buttons, so many dials, so many levers, why? And he said, did you go to law school? Then get out of here. We tend to face Yiddishkeit and face the problems of the world and we ask why. Pasuk says, Ishba lo yeda chsil lo yoven ezois. Ishba, simple person, lo yeda. Just doesn't know what's going on. But the chsil, a fool, lo yoven ezois, has a question on this. What's this button doing here? Do you know why all the other buttons are here? Do you know why all the other dials are here? Do you know at all what's going on, how the plane works, how the plane operates? We have a problem with this button. We come to Yiddishkeit, we face the world, and we have a question on this. Do we know the whole mechanism behind it? Do we know the whole wiring, why, how, and why it works? We can't ask these questions, but we have to know, you have to trust the instructor, trust the professional. No one would ever stand on a table and try to turn the light on and call his electrician. Electrician, my light's not turning on. What should I do? He said, where are you? I'm on the table trying to turn the light on. So, well, get down from the table and there's a switch by the door. He says, a switch by the door? Again, I'm trying to turn the light on in the middle of the room, not by the door. He's not going to explain to you there and then over the phone how electricity works. He's going to say, you called me? I'm the electrician. Get down from the table, go to the door and turn the light on. We have to understand that if we want to understand Yiddishkeit, you have the right to do so. We have the right to ask all the questions in Yiddishkeit and go find it out. Find out the answers. But if you want to wait until you find out the answers, until you start keeping Yiddishkeit, good luck. The light's not going to go on. You're going to sit in the heat without the air conditioning on because you don't know how electricity works. First, listen to the professional. Listen to the doctor. Listen to the electrician. And if you want, you can figure out how it works. But we have to understand this instructions for living. If we want a happy life in every area, without understanding how the wiring works, we have to know. You've got to keep every minute detail of halacha if you want to be happy, chaim, bracha, and toiv. And unfortunately, as we said, there's fakert. If we don't keep the Torah, we know it's mavis, it's klala, it's ra, it's terrible. It's not because Hashem is punishing. Hashem doesn't punish us. It's just a fact. You flew the airplane without going to flying school. That's what happens. So that's the first step of the rituals which we have to do. You have to stick to the rituals, because if you don't stick to the rituals, you just have the spirit. It's not spiritual. You need the spirit, you need to add the rituals to the spirit. Of course it's good to have the spirit, you need to have the spirit. You have to actually do every single ritual. Because if you don't do that, you're not connected to Hashem. You're losing it, because that's not what life is. But what I did tell him was, I agree to you that people who are born from, in the Orthodox world, we have a fakirta problem. We're brought up with keeping the halacha, so we have some makbit to keep every detail of halacha and make sure don't do this and don't do that, make sure this is kosher and that's kosher and Krishna, Sosman, Tefillah, and every small detail of halacha. Sometimes we forget that you have to add the spirit to the ritual. Because again, if you just have the rituals without the spirit, it's also not true spirituality. And I would say it's almost as bad. Of course, it's better to have the rituals without the spirit than the spirit without the ritual. But it's almost as bad. Why is it almost as bad? Because Hashem doesn't just need these dry deeds for us to do. Why? Because Hashem doesn't need us to do mitzvahs. We must understand that Hashem, and He created the world, we know, Sulta Sharm, everyone speaks about it, Sulta Sharm begins to say for, why did Hashem create the world? Why? Why are we here? Yisrael the Chassidus v'sheilish ha'avayda ha'tmimu is l'esbara v'lesamas etzal oda macha v'usa v'aylumoy. Someone has to be clear within himself, why are you here? Why are you here in this world? What are we doing in this world? And he doesn't answer. We're here in this world to keep the Torah, to daven, to keep the mitzvahs. Because why does Hashem need our mitzvahs? Hashem is bigger than that. Hashem is infinite. He doesn't need us to do a mitzvah for Him. Hope we understand that. And He doesn't feel good when we say kudosh, kudosh, kudosh. If you're walking in the street and you see a few ants running around doing their thing, and as you go by, they say, wow, a human being. And they all bow down their head in awe. I hope that doesn't make you feel good. And if yes, you need a doctor. The difference between you and an ant is 5.7, 6 foot. The difference between us and Hashem is infinite. Hashem doesn't need us to make Him feel good. He doesn't need our mitzvahs. So why then did you create a world? And why are we doing mitzvahs? And says this Mesil Sishar. Why are we here? We're here to take pleasure and to enjoy the divine light, enjoy the relationship with Hashem. Because this is the ultimate pleasure. From all the pleasures out there, this is the most beautiful pleasure, Yiddishkeit. The ultimate pleasure one could reach in this world and the next is a relationship with Hashem. And we're here to have this ultimate beautiful relationship with Hashem. That's what we're here for. So we're really here for our pleasure. Now why do we have to do this mitzvah then? Many people ask, oh, we're here for our pleasure, and thanks but no thanks type of thing. I'll find out how to have pleasure. But it's not true, because a parent who loves a child, or hopefully all parents love their children, don't let their 5-year-old child climb up to the cabinet and take out that big box of jelly beans and eat them all up. Why not? And of course the child is thinking, Daddy hates me. I thought he loves me. Why doesn't he let me eat this whole box? And the answer is, because I love you, I don't let you eat this whole box of jelly beans. But the difference is, sometimes when the child is nudging, and sometimes we'll say, okay, take it and leave me alone. And Hashem doesn't do that. That's the difference. Hashem loves us so much, He's going to force us to have the pleasure. He's going to break our bones until we get the ultimate pleasure. He doesn't let us just sit back and relax and settle for something less. He's going to force us to get the ultimate pleasure. We think that this is pleasure, let me enjoy myself. If a goy would have a child of 30 years old, he'd have two children, 30 years old. One of them is a lawyer, successful lawyer. And the other one sits all day on the floor and plays Lego. He's not crazy, he's a normal child, he's just not a child anymore, he's a normal adult. But he likes to play Lego, he enjoys it. What would we say, what would such a father say to such a child? Does he hate the child? Of course not. But you know what, he says, my son, I know you're enjoying yourself. You get so much pleasure out of this Lego, but let me tell you, there's better pleasures out there. Get up, get a job, get married, go to college. There's better pleasures, don't get stuck with your Lego. unless, you know, he fights with him too long, and then says, you know, I guess he likes to play Lego. We'll leave him alone. Well, hurting that his son isn't getting the pleasure which he could get, but we'll leave him alone. And that's the difference. Hashem loves us even more than that, and he's going to force us to get the ultimate pleasure. As the Novi says, Im lo b'shevet emlech aleichem. Again? Yeah. That means the Gemara says we're going to thank Hashem for saying that. We're going to thank Hashem for saying that I'm going to force you to be your melech over you. Either you're going to figure out how much pleasure it is, or somehow I'm going to make sure that you'll see the pleasure. And that's why sometimes we don't see the beauty of it, but we must understand that Hashem is doing it for one reason. Hashem wants us to get this pleasure of being close to us. Now what is this pleasure? What is this pleasure and how do we get to it? This pleasure is a relationship with Hashem. Being one with Hashem, because we come from there. Our neshama is a chilek elekayim imal. We are one with Hashem, but unfortunately we're stuck in a goof which doesn't appreciate the beauty of Hashem. And we have to tap in to our neshama and get to that ultimate pleasure. Get there again where we should be, this oneness with Hashem. We are one with Hashem. But we have to live with it. And when you live with that, you have this ultimate pleasure because Hashem is the source of everything. Of everything. He's the source of all happiness, all blessing, and everything. So we have to get there. Now how do you build this relationship with Hashem? And that is why Hashem gave us Torah and Mitzvahs.
Hashem is for the cops some enjoyment out. Yisroch Hashem b'masav. Surely the Kodesh Baruch Hu enjoys the fact that you do the mitzvahs. Not only
Hashem enjoys it like a parent enjoys a child that reaches success. Hashem for himself doesn't need anything. He wants, he doesn't need. There's a difference between wanting and needing. If you need something, that means you're missing something. You can't be infinite if you're missing something. Now Hashem gets this pleasure, of course, because we are getting this pleasure. So Hashem gets that pleasure because we're getting pleasure. But again, how do you build a relationship with someone? So there are two ways how you build a relationship. There are two ways how you build a relationship with someone. Number one, there must be do's and don'ts. Now of course, there are deeper meaning behind all the mitzvahs. Of Pizoya, every mitzvah has a deeper meaning why we have to do all the mitzvahs. But on the most simple level, the mitzvahs are simply do's and don'ts of a relationship. As I said, Hashem doesn't really care if you pull the bone out of the fish or the fish out of the bone. But he had to make a set of rules so that there should be a way how that we should choose our relationship with Hashem. Therefore, he had to make do's and don'ts. Because without do's and don'ts, there's no way to build a relationship. And every time we do mitzvahs, these are the do's and don'ts of our relationship. And if we don't do it with the spirit, as I said, then you're losing it because that's not what a relationship is. If someone comes home one day after work and tells his wife, you know, your mom just called me on the way home that it's your birthday tonight, so that means I really have to buy you a present, don't I? Well, here's £20 and buy yourself something. I don't have time to buy something. Now, that isn't building a relationship, although he done what he had to do. He gave £20 to his wife for a birthday present. If he gives £200, he still hasn't done anything. But if you come home with a smile and a small present, which is worth only £10, and it's nicely wrapped with a ribbon and a note, that's everything. The spirit is everything behind it. Of course, as we said, in the reform movement, there's only the spirit, then you don't have a functioning home if there's only spirit, and you don't buy for your home a refrigerator and an oven and all the necessities. So it's only the spiritual, it's only the spirit, it's empty. But if you only have the rituals, the house looks like a functioning home, but there's no love there to glue together or to make the house more exciting, make the relationship exciting, it's not a relationship. You need that spirit. You need to infuse the rituals with that spirit to make life more exciting. And to give the true love and excitement into this marriage. When we do these mitzvahs, we have to understand that there's a few ways how you could do it. Someone wakes up Shabbos morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and he sees a terrible scene in the kitchen, which never happened to any one of you. The chulent isn't bubbling, chas v'shalom. And this is a very sensitive thing for me. So it's not so funny. Chas v'shalom. What could you do? If you move the knob just a drop, the children will start babbling. Why wouldn't we do it? Why wouldn't we do it? I think there are three types of people. There's one type of person who says, Chas v'shalom, I'm not going to do it. I know Hashem will give me an oinish. I'll go to Gehenna if I do it. I can't do it. Such a type of person is like he really wants to do other things all day. And he's always afraid Hashem is watching. He says he wants to go there, he wants to do this, and says, Hashem, can you step aside for a few moments and let me do what I want? Leave me alone! That isn't a relationship with Hashem. You just have to do that because you know Hashem is stronger than you. So I better not start up with him, he's stronger than me. That's one type of person. There's another type of person, which I think many of us are like that. We just say, it's just not me. You know, I've kept Shabbos all my life. And I keep Shabbos, I don't do this. And such a relationship also isn't too romantic. I just do this, this is what I do, this is my life. I guess I have to do this, I have to keep Shabbos, I have to go daven now. I don't even miss Sosman Tefillah. I have to do it, because this is my life. Is that the excitement of a relationship with someone? But I think the real thing, the real mahalach should be, if you wake up 3 o'clock in the morning and the chulent isn't bubbling, you say, Hashem, I'm sure you want me to have a good chulent tomorrow morning. But I know now that I have opportunity to choose between a good chulent tomorrow morning or a relationship with you, because you give me this nisoyan. And you're telling me, look, I want you to see what's more, I want to see what's more important, not because I want to test you, because I want you to get it in yourself, and build within yourself that this is more important. A relationship with Hashem is more important than my children. And I believe that should be a nisoyan, the way one should look at every nisoyan. I had the Shabbaton in my home a few weeks ago. Small Shabbaton, and I had 25 people over for my secular people over in my house for Shabbos lunch. And Friday night, I came home from, we'd done a big oneg in someone else's house. I came home, and there was my children, which I always speaking about not bubbling. I was so upset. I was looking at it and going pacing up and down. My children's not bubbling. I'm serving tomorrow morning a children for 25 secular people. And we know the only way to get secular people is through a children. There's a famous vart about Noach. Noach built a teva 120 years. And Hashem said, I'm giving you so long to help build the teva, so that maybe someone will do tshuva. And the question is, why wasn't he successful? You know, people, I'm sure he was better than many professionals, so-called professionals today. And you know, it's not so hard today to be makar of someone. I know it just wasn't successful in being makar of one person. So the Welt Zogt, what was he doing? He was standing there giving musa and telling everyone, do tshuva, there's going to be a marvel and Hashem will wipe you out. You better do tshuva. And I think he just should have done a Shabbaton, a simple Shabbaton, bring people in, start singing and dancing with them. That would have done the job. And I actually have a riot to that. Because after the marvel, Hashem said, you can now leave the teva. And Hashem says you should take the behemoths and shech them and you can eat them. And Rashi says, up until then he was only allowed to eat fruits and vegetables. And from then, Hashem was mad to him to eat flesh. Because Hashem saw he wasn't successful. And he can't be successful with serving a salad. So he has to, you know, now if you do a whole Shabbaton with real meat and good food, then you'll be successful. But the emes, that's what we need, the excitement of Yiddishkeit, and show other people the beauty of Yiddishkeit, and how we spend the Shabbos, and that we could actually help people. So, my children wasn't bubbling, and I was a little nervous. Until I reminded myself, I said, wait a minute, isn't this your speech which you always speak about? Your children isn't bubbling, and you know now I have a time to build my relationship. And I told myself, I'm going to tell Hashem, now please, this is in your hands. And I said, when is your learning? You're better than me. You know how to make a good chulent, whether it bubbles or not. I take upon myself that this is my nisoyan, and thank you, Hashem, I'm building a relationship with you. Although there's going to be 25 secular people tomorrow morning, I prefer to build a relationship with you than be over, because it's more pleasure, and I want pleasure although my children will be good, but this is better pleasure. And I'm choosing my pleasure. And Hashem, I take it upon myself. I'm not going to look at it till my wife serves it the next morning. And I tell you, I've never had such a good children in my life before. Baruch Hashem. Glad there's a happy ending. But I think every Nisoyan someone goes through should be with this perspective. You have a Nisoyan and we say, oh, come on, I have to fight with Hashem now. It's not healthy. Is that what Yiddishkeit is? You're constantly fighting with Hashem. You want to do this, you want to do that, you want to go there, you want to go here, you want to look at that, you want to eat this, and Hashem is always in your way. Is that a relationship with Hashem? That's just doing the rituals because of instructions for living. But it doesn't always work, just instructions for living. It's like when you have a laptop many times and it gets stuck. And we know there should be some type of code to get out of it and it should function normally. But many of us just close it, take out the battery and turn it on again. We just give up. You work around the system to make sure things would work. But eventually your computer will break if you work with your computer like that. And that's life itself is the same. We know it's instructions for living, Nebuch. So I have to keep all the halachas. But sometimes we work around the halachas. There's another medrash that says, so I'm okay, I'm covered with this because I could do it this way. If it's only instructions for living, yes. But if it's a relationship with Hashem, there's no way you're going to get there by working around the system, because you want to build your relationship. You want to have this beautiful relationship. You want this to be geshmak. And therefore when we have a nisoyan, we say, thank you Hashem for this nisoyan, because I'm now choosing you versus that. It's like any computer game. Remember when I was a kid, it was Tetris. I don't think we've grown out of that by now. But this, when you play a computer game and you're level one, and you know aliens are coming down or something, which you have to kill it. And on level one, it comes down slowly. Once something comes down, you kill it, and then you can go out. You can make yourself a coffee. You have time till the next one comes down, and then it goes to level two and level three. Someone would say, you know, let me turn it off and start again because it's so much easier to be on level one. But that's what a fool says. Someone who is smarter than that gets to level 8 on level 9 and then he's busy and someone walks in and says, hello? I said, leave me alone, quiet, I'm busy. He said, why are you torturing yourself? Go back to level 1. And the answer is, because this is the beauty. I want to be on level 10. Look who I am. If you're on level 1, you're a loser. And Hashem gives us nisyonis. Hashem says, you're on level 8, you're on level 9, you can take this, you're on level 10. You want to be on level 1? Hashem, I'm not so sure I can handle this. Hashem, please. We want to be on level 10. Of course, we're not asking for nisyonos. We daven loyli de nisoyin. But that's another way how to fight the nisoyin. Not because we don't want them at all. The way to fight the nisyonos is also to daven, to show that Hashem is in charge. And I know He's the one that will take away the nisyonos from me. But when we do have a nisyon, you say, thank you Hashem, I know you trust me. You put me on this level. I know you trust me, you love me. And you want me to build within myself this ahava, this love towards you. Therefore you're giving me nisyonos. And when we do that more and more and more, eventually we'll have this beautiful relationship with Hashem. It's like when husband and wife, that's the way you build a relationship, with loads of do's and don'ts, but doing it with a simcha, doing it with a smile. Now when we do it, it doesn't always mean that at that moment you'll feel so geschmack. It's not always like that at all. But it's eventually. If you get married a few weeks after your chasna, you want to go hang out with some friends, go somewhere on an outing with friends, and your wife says, no, please come home. Now although it will be more geshmak, I believe, to go with your friends on an outing. Your wife wants you home. So it's not so geshmak being at home then, I agree. But years doing for each other, eventually you're building a relationship because you've built within yourself. My wife knows that she is more important to me than my friends, and vice versa. And when that works, and you do it again and again and again, eventually you'll feel the beauty. But we have an Nisoyan, and then we say, no, I don't feel this beautiful relationship with Hashem. Of course you don't feel it that first moment. But when you're constantly saying, I want to do this because Hashem wants me to do this. not because Hashem needs it, because I am building this relationship with Hashem. And every time I do something, it's another step in my relationship, and I want to get closer to Him. Because this is the most beautiful thing one can have, is be close to Hashem. And that's the way we look at Nisyonis, that the whole world is different. There's no problems, there's no Nisyonis, there's only opportunities to actually get closer to Hashem, because being close to Hashem is even more pleasurable than anything else. As we said, from all the pleasures out there, there's nothing more exciting and pleasurable than a relationship with Hashem. And therefore, to have true spiritual, as I said, you need the spirit and the ritual. The spirit, as we just said, is the excitement of Yiddishkeit. You can't have a relationship without the spirit. But if you just have the spirit, you can't have a relationship either. Because you need all the do's and don'ts of this relationship just to make sure it's a functioning home. Rituals without spirit is nothing. And spirit without ritual is nothing. I just want to conclude with a story, a marshal, about what it means just to be in close with Hashem. That is the schar. Because to have this relationship is not Hashem one day will repay me for it. A relationship is the actual thing. No one, I hope, expects to get schar from the spouse. I've done this for you, you got to pay me now. It's the actual relationship which you have. So I'll give an example from my neck of the woods. In America, President Obama, traveling around, and he's fundraising or doing something in a little town. Imagine, as you finish speaking, someone goes over, a small Yiddel, Chassid Shayid, goes over to him and says, hello, and says, President, are you going back to Washington, D.C.? Because I'm on the way there with my family, maybe I could give you a ride. And of course, he said it as a joke. But the president says, yeah, it'll be my pleasure, sure. And everyone goes wild. The Secret Service, let's go in there. They check out this car. And no one can believe what's happening. But Obama says, yeah, he tries to be friendly. That's what he says. He tries to understand the Hamoin Am. And President Obama sits down in his small little, I don't know what type of cars you have here, Civic, you know, a small little car. And he's traveling together for 45 minutes. Chassid Shayid, Obama's next to him. A few Chassid Shayid kids sitting in the back, singing songs. And you could imagine what's going on in the street. There's motorbikes in front of him. There's five Mercedes behind him. And the whole press is there. Everyone is standing with their cameras, the video cameras, like, what's going on? And the next morning, the papers will be covered with this story. The papers of the New York Times, the New York Post, the Washington Post, everyone will have this cover story of a Hasidic Yid gave a ride to President Obama. Of course, some of them will say that the Hasidic Yid tried to influence Obama to release Pollard, therefore he gave him a ride. The White House officials say, we stick to our policy. The papers will be covered with it. It'll be covered, it'll be featured 3 months later in Mishpacha, front cover. Everyone will be talking about it. Now Obama leaves this car and says, thank you, and goes into the White House. Imagine, as he walks out, Obama's driver runs after the small Hasidic Yid and says, you know, it's really my job. And I was free for the last 45 minutes, so I went to McDonald's and had a drink. And you know, I had an hour off, so I appreciate you. And here's $10 to, you know, to compensate for your for the ride. Would you take it? $10? Are you crazy? I had the president with me. If he'd given him $1 million, he might take it, because I don't mind having $1 million in my pocket. But that's not why I done it. I had the president with me for 45 minutes, if we feel that's a mile. But someone who you do feel that's a mile, you had someone with you for 45 minutes. You were talking to him. You had the whole press following you. You were in a splash across all the papers the next morning, and I'm going to take $10 for him sitting next to me. It was my pleasure. I don't need anything. It was my pleasure being with him for 45 minutes. And I'll never forget that story for the rest of my life. when we do the mitzvahs and we build this relationship with Hashem, we say, we don't even need the scha. The Rambam writes that if someone does mitzvahs because he's scared of oinish, that's terrible. But even if he does mitzvahs because he knows that when you do a mitzvah and every small deed you do, you'll get moided the scha and yenavelt, it's also a very small level. Because that relationship with someone? You should do mitzvahs because the actual mitzvah, listening to Hashem, waking up 3 o'clock in the morning and saying, no, I'm not going to up the challenge. It's my pleasure. I'm closer to Hashem. I'm building a relationship. I don't need those $10 or even $1 million. I'll take it. I'll take the schar in Yenavelt. But it was my pleasure being close to Hashem. We have the spirit of Yiddishkeit. We do all the rituals. And we're all, Baruch Hashem, very spiritual and close to Hashem. Thank you.